It's going so well. I can't even begin to explain how well
it's going. Just try it.
Well, first there was me sending out the wrong link, so everybody was the host. That was a fun time. And then your brother called and found your dad on classmates.com, and your niece or nephew ate some Emolio, which apparently is oatmeal.
Yeah, so everything's good. Welcome to Shut the Fuck Up, Nick Lachey.
Oh, thank you, Sonia. Sonia says I look pretty.
Hi, Daisy Egan.
Hi, Ellen Marsh.
How's it going?
Yes.
Great.
That's the most positive thing I can say.
Welcome, everyone, to Shut the Fuck Up, Nick Lachey, our Love is Blind recap podcast. And I'm Ellen, and that's Daisy. And you're here. And we're all breathing. We're all making it. Everything's good. Mm-hmm. We had about, you know, 40 hosts a little while ago, but everything is fine now. How are you feeling about life and love? Tell me a quick story.
You don't want to ask that question. Last time you gave me a big lecture about how I have to be positive. Don't ask me how I'm feeling about life.
No. I just said be funny.
You can't ask me that and then say be funny, because those are two opposite things. That's like being like, how's that soup? It's rotten. You know what I mean? Like, you know the soup is rotten. Why are you asking me how it is?
I get that.
You know? How about you?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. See? I told you.
Hey, everyone. Thanks for buying our merch. People bought our merch. That was so nice. Has anyone gotten it yet? You can't answer me. That's weird when I ask questions, right? We got bags and sweatshirts and tops.
And stickers.
Over there on the Grab Bag collab Instagram page. A bunch of people bought it because we talked about it. I still have not ordered my tote bag. All I want is a tote bag because I use them all the time because I shop with tote bags.
Me too.
Yeah.
I forgot to buy any of the merch from the first GBC merch drop. So I don't have anything. I don't have a hat. I don't have a nothing. I have a nothing.
Okay. That makes sense. But if you guys want it, it's there on our Instagram page. Click our link tree and buy it, or don't.
When Ellen says our Instagram page, she means GBC, because STFU doesn't have an Instagram page because Ellen and I both have enough Instagram pages.
Right. So go to the Grab Bag Collab Instagram page. Other than that, thank you for being here. Let's start the show, Daisy. Did you note episode 11, The Risk of Falling in Love?
I did. Did you?
Great. Same page. We're already starting on a good note.
Yeah, 20 minutes in. So we start with ominous music, which apparently I don't know how to spell. Ominous. Mm. Oh, there's a U in there. An O-U. Okay. We start with ominous music and we're with Hannah and Nick. And Hannah wants to know, they're coming home from their Great Gatsby party, and she wants to know about his conversation with Katie because they were talking for like 40 minutes, Nick.
She's like, literally my best friend in the whole world. She said the whole world.
Nick.
And she was like, you all were giggling and having the best time, and we have the beef fry necklaces. You know where it says best friends, and you cut it in half, and one person takes one heart, and the other person takes another heart, and you wear it forever like little orphan Annie. Yeah, that's what we have, because we were best friends. Nick.
In the whole wide world. Yuck.
So this threw me for a loop when I saw it. Originally, this has continued to throw me for a loop.
Yep.
I was trying to understand what this could possibly mean. And I was sort of correlating it to like being in tech for a show. You know, when you're in the trenches with someone, when you're in a situation that forces people to make intense bonds in friendships. Yes. But like they went through something, they got close, whatever. You know, it happens like in theater all the time. But like, do you have best friends? Like, did you have an open for a best friend, and Katie needed to fill it? The whole best friend threw me for a loop.
Same. It reminded me somewhat of Ollie and Aaron.
Yeah.
And I wonder if maybe they knew each other before.
They didn't. They both came out online and said no.
She's her best friend in the whole wide world, and they spent, what, 10 days together?
Yeah, that makes me think you don't have friends, and you know what I always say? I don't trust women with no girlfriends. I have said that for many years.
Also, it's hard to believe that Katie's best friend in the whole wide world is Hannah. Mm. Like, Katie seems like a pretty solid individual.
She really does. I like her.
I can't really imagine her being like, Hannah. Right. Hannah's my soulmate. You know what I mean? But Hannah's also incredibly hyperbolic. I mean, you know, she's like, y'all were having the best time of your whole entire lives, and that woman said I was a jealous bitch. Like, everything is exaggerated.
Well, what I wanted Nick to say as a response to that question, what were y'all talking about about was, you know, it was really nice to sit next to someone and talk to them, and they treated me like a human being. So that was fun for me.
Yeah, you remember when you said that I only deserve equal treatment when I do a whole bunch of things for you? The weird thing was, is I just sat down across from her and she treated me like an equal human being. I didn't have to do anything to earn that. I just had to exist in the world.
She said words and I listened, and then I said words, and what she did was she listened. It was the craziest experience, Hannah.
It was so weird. It was like she had feedback for me that, you know, I could have taken as negative, but it was like said in a really kind, constructive way that really felt like somebody who cared about me and wanted to just see me do well in the world. It was so strange.
It was the weirdest conversation, I have to tell you. I didn't walk away crying at all. Nick actually does finally grow a pair of balls in this conversation.
Yeah.
And then he was like, well, if Katie is your best friend and you're not satisfied with the answers that I'm giving you, go ask your best friend what we talked about, which I thought was a perfectly great response. I would like to say, I hate when women make me defend dudes like in this way. Yeah. He does not raise his voice. He does not get angry. He does kind of clap back a bit, which is earned.
Sure, which he should have done weeks ago.
Absolutely. But they're just talking. She did not like that response.
No, she didn't. She said, well, that was just 3 seconds, but y'all talked for 40 minutes. So what did you actually talk about, Nick?
Listen, you know what I did? I turned you from a boy into a man. You taught him how to make pasta, ma'am.
Come on.
And you, I don't know, told him he doesn't eat pussy, right?
The amount of respect that he has treated her with, in contrast to the amount of disrespect that she is treated him with, is remarkable.
Yeah, I mean, I was sort of like thinking about this in later conversations in the episode, but yeah, he does always lead with respect. And I'm by no means saying that Nick is a good partner. Him not knowing how to cook and him not paying his own phone bill and him not having stocks, those are all things that can be changed fairly easily.
Yes.
It's kind of a non-issue. I mean, you can go on YouTube and learn how to cook a Salisbury steak if he wanted to.
Yes.
And he could also leave his parents' phone plan whenever he wanted. But he has been very respectful. And the things that she needs to change are fundamentally about her. He just needs to kind of like, for lack of a better word, man up a bit. I hate to use that phrase.
Yeah, he needs to grow up.
Grow up. Yeah, that's better. Yeah.
And this is going to actually come into focus later when we meet her friends. God. This whole thing about like, what is changeable? What isn't changeable.
Yeah.
What she's actually asking for, how carefully he's trying to navigate this situation.
That conversation was in the Upside Down. I can't wait to get to it.
Yes.
But then she's going on about, I was going to show you I was fun, Nick. This was going to be the night you were going to meet fun Hannah.
I decided to be fun, Nick.
I know a lot of fun people.
Yeah.
So many people. You're fun.
Yeah.
You know, you're like a sleepy fun.
Yeah. I'm like a cranky fun.
You're like a nappy fun. You're like like a cuddle on the couch. You are not fun. You're a fun sponge, actually.
Listen, this is like her saying, like, I'm funny. It's like, no. You either are or you aren't. You can't be like, okay, well, now I'm going to be fun, Nick. You better watch out, Nick, because I turned on my fun switch, Nick.
Like, this woman couldn't even let a man ride a silly duck on a free Mexico vacation.
She's so fun.
She sucks the fun out of every room she walked in.
Everything.
But Daisy, be fair, tonight was going to be the night.
Tonight, she had decided Fun Hannah's going to come out, but he ruined it because he sat and talked to somebody for 40 minutes. Nick is done, I think. He's trying to tell her that he told Katie that things with him and Hannah are great and he can't wait to get married. And she responds to that with, are we?
It's so strange. She's like, well, Katie came over and told me how handsome you are, Nick.
Okay. Why is that my problem?
I don't think that's a big deal. Also, I have to remember, she's 26 years old. If someone came over and told me my partner was handsome, I'd be like, thanks. I wouldn't think that he was, you know, finger blasting her in the handicapped bathroom.
I told you about when I was married to my first husband and I reconnected with this woman who I'd been in Les Mis with. We were the same age. And she was like, your husband's really cute. I was like, thanks. And she was like, I mean, he's really cute. I was like, thank you. And she goes, I mean, don't worry. I'm not going to fuck him.
Until you said it, I didn't.
Now I'm
that you said it.
A little.
Before.
Although, you can have him, frankly. But
also, I didn't. You put that. That in wasn't. My, when you said that, I was like,
mind.
Oh.
Now it's in my head.
Because before I was like, think so. Yeah. Huh. Weird how okay. that works.
Thank you, I guess.
Wait, Katie wrote in the chat, I had balloon animals neck. I had boggle. I had finger mustaches drawn neck.
She's like, you need to understand why I'm upset. And he's like, look, I'm here. I love you. I'm going to marry you. So I was talking to Katie for 40 minutes. He goes, who gives a fuck? And she's like, well, I do, neck.
And then she says, it's not you I don't trust. It's Katie.
Okay.
You're Biffle? What? And then mid-fight, she goes, look at my feet, Nick.
She says, my feet look psychotic, Nick.
No, I think that's just a reflection of your fucking personality, you fucking overblown hedgehog.
And then suddenly, she's like, you look really hot right now, Nick. I think in that moment, she realizes that she's being herself, which is awful.
And I think also she's got like the drunk horns.
Yes, I think it's this thing of like, oh, I'm not going to win this argument because it's ridiculous. And I just said that I don't trust her. So I don't know why I'm yelling at him. I think you look really sexy, Nick.
Yeah. And then she just kind of like weaponizes sex. Like if I just like, you know, I want to go to bed. No, that's not what we do with our vaginas. No. Our vaginas no. are the most powerful thing on the planet. And you know that.
A man will be like, oh, titties.
Like, which he does. Yeah. He pushes back, actually. Yeah. That's not fair. I do love that he keeps saying bet. I mean, I don't always feel old. I'm not like that person. But he's like, yeah, I love you. Bet. Yeah, I didn't say that. Bet. I was like, okay, I'll defend you, but you're going to have to stop saying yeah, bet.
Please stop saying that. Don't say mid. Don't say bet. Don't say ick. The ick. She's like, it's 1:30 in the morning. And he's like, yeah, but you're mad at me for something. Is there something I could have done better?
Which was a fair and great and mature question.
Right. But I do think it's relatively clear that what she says she's mad about is that she would have preferred that he not have that 40-minute conversation with Katie. Just wait until he watches that party back and finds out that she was running around yelling about how he won't eat pussy. She wants to talk about him disrespecting her.
Yeah.
By having a quiet conversation with somebody.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think she does realize how ridiculous she's being. She's not jealous. She's looking for a fight. And Nick is getting mm-hmm. a little like defensive. He's like, cool, so I can't speak, I can't dress the way I mm-hmm. want, I'm just mm-hmm. you know, kind of here taking up space. And so I was actually thinking about the pasta scene and how I was, you know, I felt like he was just scared of her, because
yeah.
we see him constantly second guessing himself. He's trying mm-hmm. to find balance, he's trying to make her happy. This is a man who avoids conflict. And all she does is mock him, invalidate him, cut him off, insult him, make him feel less than. Mm-hmm. Then he's opens the floor. He's basically like, what should I have done better? And the truth of the matter is she doesn't have an answer.
No, she doesn't. She doesn't like him and she doesn't want to be there. And she's horrible. And here we are. You and me, mm-hmm. Ellen, two adult people with children and careers, recapping a conversation that two drunken fucking idiots are having.
Yeah, which when you sort of like lay it out like that, I should have paid more attention in school, I fear.
Yeah, when they were teaching us about Doric columns, I really should have taken better notes.
You know, impulse control is very hard for people with ADHD. And one of my most proud things in my life is my impulse to not tell Lola how everything she's learning in high school is meaningless.
Yeah.
Like, she was studying for the Great Gatsby. She, oddly enough, she has a test on the Great Gatsby today. And the things they test them on are like, did you really read it? Like, what color were the chairs they were sitting on? It's not talking about, like, concepts and stuff.
No.
That is my greatest accomplishment, is not being like, you actually really don't need to know that. Why does everyone pretend
hard.
We need to know this shit? It's a racket.
I tell Kurt that all the time. I'm like, I don't even know why he has to be there, honestly. It's like, he's a smart kid.
Yeah.
He's interested in things. And even Monty said that. We were talking about math and he goes, we don't matter. And we were like, what do you mean? He's like, human beings don't matter. And I was like, well, you're correct.
Yeah, it is so wild. Did you watch the congressional hearing on the aliens?
No.
Oh, that'll be a fun dive for you. None of it matters. Also, if you're listening to this and you're in school, stay in school and don't listen to stupid podcasts. How about that?
Well, stay in school mostly because if you don't, your parents will get arrested.
No, definitely.
So now we're 9 days to the wedding and we're in San Diego.
Do you know what San Diego directly translates to?
Yeah, whale's vagina.
Yeah.
Everybody knows that.
You didn't say it?
San Diego.
Which is a direct translation.
Oh, I'm sorry.
So,
okay. No, there's no way that's correct.
Taylor is back to being happy. In confessional, she tells us that she cried all night and Garrett feels terrible. And apparently his interaction with his ex was more friendly than he was originally letting on. And she felt awful about it. I have to say, I think she's making a mountain out of a molehill. I don't think this is anything.
I actually think a year out after watching them on the reunion, I'll bet she thinks the same thing.
Oh.
I think. She hasn't said that. I just, you know when like you're out of it and you're like, that actually was a silly reaction. We all have them.
Yes. Most of the reactions I have in my life.
What I like to do is I actually like to spend a lot of time thinking about my overreactions or my underreactions. Sometimes I underreact to things.
Yeah.
It really just kind of like diving in and reassessing everything that I have done wrong, which consumes me. And that is why I
like that too.
I'm a podcaster. Dance school.
I really like that too. I once had a complete stranger confront me about something I had done at an audition that he wasn't even at. And he was like, oh, I heard you like intentionally threw off all the other actors. And I was like, that's not what
like,
I was
I can't help it if I'm so good.
Doing.
I upstage everyone on stage. Have you seen this fucking Tony?
I was like, that was not what I was. I was trying to make a joke that I thought we could all relate to. Who are you, sir?
Sir. Also, take my order. This is a Chili's. But I do think that, I think she's going to look back. And she was just a little emotional. She says she isn't sure. They're a week out now. But I do actually appreciate what she says at the end of that little confessional is she's like, listen, I'm feeling some kind of way, which whatever, she's entitled. We can say she's overreacting. That's fine. But she's like, you know what? I'm only here with my family and Garrett in this experience now. She's like, I'm going to choose to not think about that today. And I actually thought that was really cool because you can choose joy. Like you can make a choice and be like, this is not what I'm going to lead with today. And you know, they're mature. Right. She's very analytical. They'll talk it out at some other time. And I thought that was just like a really nice thing to say. She's like, I'm just not going to bring it up today. Yes. I'm just going to have a good day. You can choose to have a good day. I'm not going to do it.
You absolutely can.
But you all have fun doing that.
Yeah, yeah. One has the option. One can do that.
I don't have the option. No, I can't.
No, no.
It's like a tornado up here.
It's a fucking woof.
I also love that this whole time they're in San Diego, by the way, Taylor is on her cell phone. Everything is shot selfie style. You can tell Netflix was like, you guys can go.
We're not
boring.
Going to San Diego.
Not only do we have to like pay for the camera crew to like check their luggage and hotel. Now, also, we don't care.
I also love the idea that Netflix doesn't have camera people in Southern California that they could just call and be like, hey, could you pop down there for the day?
They're like, no need. It's just Taylor and Garrett. If it was one of the exciting ones, we would send is Taylor and Garrett. Nobody cares. Everyone fast forwards through their scenes anyway. Super healthy.
We meet Taylor's family and they all seem thrilled.
Right.
You know, whatever. So now we're with Tyler and Ashley. They're going go-karting. He lets us know through saying to her that he's said sorry many, many times now. And she's like, you know what? The shock has worn off and I'm able to rationalize certain things. I don't understand how she's going to rationalize her way around this. This is nuts. Yeah. This is one of the most nuts things that has ever happened on this fucking show.
What's nuttier is watching all of the post-show stuff on social media and watching her, you know, speaking of nuts, it's like a whole box of the nuts that you don't want in the chocolate box. And she is just living in a fantasy world. She is on another island all by herself. And then she says, you know, if the kids come into our lives in maybe 5 years, babe, they're his babies. They ask for him.
They are in his life. I don't understand how he thinks he's going to get away with this. I don't understand how he thinks he's going to get away with this.
But he does. He has this woman doubling down on every podcast that will hand her a microphone except for us.
Yeah. Come on, Ashley.
You know, the fact of the matter is, like, I talk a big game, but if she were here, I couldn't be mean to her.
No, you know what
I mean? Like, I feel bad for her.
I just interviewed somebody for Strange because I'm doing a few bonus episodes that are just interviews. And she was like, so is this going to sort of be like a gotcha? And I was like, no. Because, you know, you listen to my show and I'm very judgy. And I was like, no. Absolutely
not. You're like, I'm judgy
not.
Alone in my office with a microphone in front of me. But but in front of humans, you're like, huh? Yeah. Oh,
hi, you're great. I love everything you're doing.
That's the thing on the internet. That's what I was saying yesterday about all these awful trolls coming from my friend's video. It's like, bitch, where do you live? I'll swing by.
Yeah, say it to my face.
Because you're not going to say that. You're not going to say that to someone's face. When someone says something egregious in public, someone's filming it and putting it on TikTok. Because it doesn't happen like that in real life. We all smile and nod. No. And when someone says, is your food good? You're like, uh-huh. And spitting it in your napkin.
Yeah. I feel like maybe if Ashley came on as a guest, we would be like, girl. Like,
is the dick that big? What? Is it that big? Tell me when to stop. Oh my God.
Is he that good at eating pussy? Like, what is actually
happening?
The dick
will make you slap somebody, okay?
She's like, we're going to get married. And she goes, but if any more cats crawl out of that bag, I can't make any promises. And he thinks this is hilarious.
No more secrets.
This is like Stephen hearing that Monica's dad might think he's a liar. He's like, no. There's no more. Come on. There's no more cats coming out of the bag.
It's like Ricky Ricardo. Do you remember the scene with her at the turkey head and you can hear Ricky laughing off screen? He's like watching it on the screen. Great. Anyway, my ADHD is peak today. Marissa and Ramses are sorting out all of their marriage certificate stuff. It's a kind of blasé blah.
He doesn't know her birthday. He doesn't know her phone number.
To be fair, in his defense, I don't know anybody's fucking phone number. Felt like the birthday, yes. Like, I'm embarrassed. I think I remember my old landline at home from the 90s.
I do too. And I remember both of my landlines from growing up. I remember my old cell phone number. And I remember Kurt.
Yeah, that's it. So that I didn't take. I was like,
But it just sort of points out that, like, how little they actually know about each other. But they seem very happy. And he's the one taking the initiative on filling out this marriage license.
And they click send and they say, we're getting married, and now we're 8 days from the wedding, and it's time for Nick to meet Hannah, spelled backwards, as Hannah's friends. Apparently she has other best friends other than Katie. Who knew? So before the friends come in, Hannah is sitting there and she's like, did we resolve our issues, Nick? And this is what he says.
Sometimes I come across flirty, but it comes across the wrong way. So it's been an adjustment trying to, you know, change for you.
So you're trying to change your flirtation for me?
I'm trying to change my personality for you, yes.
So by me asking you not to flirt with other women, I'm changing your personality?
I wasn't flirting with, but that's what it came across to you.
He's kind of joking. He's like, well, I've worked really hard, but you know, you turned me from a boy into a man. And there's fun Hannah, not cracking a smile, not laughing. She's so fun.
Nick, I want to go in the past and like pull you aside. I want to be like the server at that tapas bar and say, you're always going to be wrong. You need to accept it. If this is what you're agreeing to a lifetime of this.
If you're going to marry this woman, this is what it's going to be. So buckle in. You know, he says he's aware of what he needs to change and he's willing to try. And she goes, well, in this experiment, Nick, I think you have tests and you failed this one, Nick.
So then besties come.
Adriana and another Hannah, spelled backwards as Hannah. And he tells them that, you know, women haven't really been a priority in his life. He's focused on sports and that kind of stuff. And so Adriana, relatively fairly, is like, so why are you now ready? How do you go from that to being ready to get married? And he said he wants to start a family and he's never loved anyone before Hannah. The next time he falls in love for the first time ever, he's going to be like, oh.
Exactly. He's going to be like, oh, I don't have to go to sleep feeling like shit every day. Oh, that's so
right.
Weird.
I don't think I was actually in love with her. I think I was on TV.
You know, he's being really accountable. He's like, I have flaws. And then I thought about it. I have never heard Hannah be accountable for anything. The only thing she says, Daisy, is, I mean, I'm direct.
I'm going to tell the truth.
I don't know what order my human pet peeves go in, but like if there was a top 10 list, anyone who says like, I'm just being honest or I'm direct.
No.
You can be direct and still respect the person you're talking to. This is an educational podcast.
It's actually, that's like a healthy way to communicate, is to be direct and also be respectful and kind while you're doing it. I mean, she has in the past said like, I know I can be a little bossy and it's like my way or the highway or whatever.
But it's never an accountable statement. It's always a like, oh, that's just me. It's like Trump. Well, you know Trump is going to lie. Come on. I know I can be like that. I'm just silly. I just think, I was thinking about this in regards to the hateful comments I saw on my friend's video yesterday. It was like a whole fucking day of it. I think the good rule of thumb should be you need to take like a couple extra seconds out of your day before you open your mouth or type something on a keyboard and think, is sharing my thoughts in this moment going to improve the situation I'm in? Is it going to be helpful to anyone involved? Or am I just going to make people feel bad?
That's the reason I almost never reply to anything online.
Where is it going to take you?
Right.
Sometimes I answer people online and I was like, after you hit post, what was your end game? What was your hope for me?
Right.
That you would teach me something, I would change, or I would have a different viewpoint, or are you just looking to hurt my feelings? And that's what I would like say to Hannah, like being honest, being direct, does not require you being mean. Being mean is a choice.
Yeah, she says, I know I can come across malicious or rude, but that just means I care.
No.
That means you're malicious and rude.
You're not very smart. You don't have a great vocabulary. You have no emotional intelligence, and you actually genuinely do not care.
No, and you're abusive.
Because when you care about someone, you're like, I want to, whenever I have had any kind of conversation with anyone, you're like, I want to tell you how I feel in a kind way that's going to move the situation forward.
Right. If you care about somebody, you don't want to make them feel shitty.
Ever. You might make them feel shitty inadvertently.
Right. You're not going to be like, I'm going to be malicious and rude because I care. No, it doesn't work like that. Nick says he's having to change so much of who he is, and it's making him wonder if maybe he isn't mature enough to get married. And Hannah says, you think I'm trying to change you, and I'm not trying to change you, but sometimes you have to change, Nick, because, and then she goes, some fucking bullshit that I didn't understand what the fuck she was talking about and doesn't mean anything. It doesn't make any sense. You know, he's not allowed to flirt anymore and blah, 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 blah. And through this, we get a shot of Adriana looking incredibly uncomfortable. She's like sitting there like, I don't think we should be a party to this conversation.
I'm glad you said that. This whole conversation, this whole meeting of the friends, this is not a friend hangout. This is group. This is group
this is
therapy.
Gross. Yes.
Strangers who don't know their dynamic, who don't know anything that they've been through. And basically, they're like privy to this private conversation. Obviously, they're going to be on Hannah's side. They're Hannah's friends. I don't, you know, judge them for that. I would be the same way.
But you'd think also, like, her parents at least were like, are you okay?
Have you ever been like with a couple that like are bickering, but like mean bickering? And you're just like, yeah, like I feel like if I could render myself invisible right now, that's what I feel like.
Yeah.
You all should be talking about silly stories. You should be pulling up pictures on your phone of Hannah Banana. Like, this is not a hangout.
No, this is awful. And I feel really bad for him. So then Hannah's like, well, you can share how I feel if you want. He's like, you know what? Just please, you go ahead. You go ahead. And she's like, I think sometimes he's not honest and upfront with me because he's worried that if he's honest, that he's not ready, that I won't be in his life anymore.
Well, he's terrified of you. We're all terrified of you.
Yes.
Maybe he isn't honest and upfront because you are petrifying.
Yeah. And she says some nonsense that ends with, if he says no to me at the altar, we won't be together anymore. And then he lists off all of the questions that she has about his readiness to marry her. And he names those six things, you know, that she wrote in Mexico. And Adriana's like, yeah, but those aren't like your fundamental personality. Those are things that you can change. That's walking the dog, and that's this, and that's this, and that's that. And he's like, right. I mean, if you're going to be in a relationship, you have to take risks and challenges. And Hannah's like, those are risks and challenges, Nick. To have characteristics to be in a relationship is a risk, Nick.
This is not a meeting of friends. This is an emotional gangbang. Like, he is just taking it like shot after shot. And he's just sitting there, poor guy. Nick, he's not confrontational.
No, I think what he's meaning to say, because Adriana points out again that she's like, these are just things you can fix. Like, you can walk the dog and you can pay your cell phone bill or whatever. But I think what Nick is trying to say and not saying, because he's terrified of her, is it's not about walking the dog. It's not about fucking knowing how to boil pasta. It's about who he is as a person. She doesn't like him, and he knows that. And he's trying to say, Hannah is constantly nagging me about these little things, and I think it's because she doesn't like me.
Yeah.
But he either doesn't know that that's what he's trying to say, or he's terrified to say it.
Probably a little of both. Taylor and Garrett have a meal with Mama Fong, Taylor's mom, blah, 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 because Mama Fong is in town for Daisy's favorite day. It's
I literally wrote, oh,
day.
No.
It's dress shopping
now
day.
Now we have to go.
It's Daisy's favorite day. What day? Dress shopping day. Let's try on some dresses and maybe
but before
some
we
dress-
get to the wedding
do,
dresses.
Do you want me to finish my song?
Oh, sorry. I thought it was finished.
Okay. Well, when you look like that, it doesn't.
No, I'm just cleaning this off.
Yeah, but like go you on. Also are rolling your eyes. And that's a fake smile you're giving. So you don't want me to finish the song that I wrote.
No, please finish
no,
it.
No, do you hear how you're smiling? That's a fake ass smile. I know no one can
no,
see it
I'm
except
smiling.
For the live. Okay, forget it. I don't want to
smile.
I don't even want to do it. I don't want to. No, she doesn't appreciate anything. I don't have a Tony.
Who?
She does rub it in my face.
Who are you talking to?
My friend.
Who?
Winston.
Winston?
Yep.
Winston what, Ellen?
Churchill.
Well, I have a lot of questions about that, but we don't have time.
It just came out before I could even do it.
Of course. I knew you were going to say Churchill, just like last week I knew you were going to say Struthers.
Oh, it's hot in here.
Hannah and PJ, her mom, are sitting in the apartment, and PJ wrote some sort of speech. These people take wedding dress shopping so fucking seriously. These people act like the wedding dress is nobody fucking
nobody
cares.
They all look the same.
Oh my God. She's like, oh, I wrote a speech because this is a really important day, and I wanted to give a speech when you found on the dress of your dreams.
My friend Jess got her dress on Poshmark.
Nice.
And it looked amazing.
I
and then
that.
You know what she did? She sold it back to Poshmark.
Resold it. That's what you should do.
Let's have like 20 dresses in every size.
Yes.
And let's just pass them around. Let's just pass them around.
Pass them around.
Just you take it, then I'll take it, and then I'll take it again.
Yeah.
And then it says,
yeah.
Just share the dresses.
Share it. Oh. Get it dry cleaned when you're done and pass it along.
It's like a book club.
It should be. A
yeah.
dress club. Hannah says it's supposed to be a special day, but Nick doesn't match me intellectually or my sense of humor or my creativity or my finances. He doesn't match me anywhere.
Anywhere.
And her friends didn't like him. I'm sure she's thrilled about that because it finally gives her permission to not like him.
I actually find that very hard to believe. I'm trying to actually think if I have ever said that to a friend, right? Let's say you sit down with like your bestie, you're just vibing, you're getting a bad vibe. I don't think I would ever have the balls. It just would land on deaf ears. I don't know if I believe
yeah.
that. I think she's assuming that, you know, because it's like, well, he's
yes.
this and that. I can't believe
point.
Anyone would say that. Like, I have had friends where it's Evan. I don't know if you know this about me. I'm sort of like
yeah.
sharing a lot here.
Yeah.
Sorry. It's just,
it's okay.
hard
this
to be,
is a safe
it's hard
space.
To be vulnerable.
I know.
I'm not good at hiding my face. Yeah. Yeah.
Huh.
People
okay.
generally know where they stand with me at all times. I'm
yeah.
not
yeah.
good at that. Thank you. Thank you for letting me share.
Yeah. Do
yeah.
you feel better now?
So well, yeah. all to say, if I don't like someone, people usually know. But I find
yeah.
it hard to believe someone would be like, I don't know, Hannah. I don't like him.
They
all talk like, you know, I think she was just, she's just giving a laundry list, you know, where like she was like, he's this, it's he's that, he's that. My
uh-huh.
friends don't like him, you know?
Yes, absolutely. Hannah says she does love him. No, you don't. And she can see what it could be and she wants it to work, but she feels like she's teaching him how to love and how to be in a relationship and it's not fair to her. This woman wouldn't know what a healthy, loving relationship looked like if it smacked her in her big,
mm-hmm.
huge face.
It is a big face.
And then I wrote, oh no, now we have to do wedding shopping.
Yeah, blase blah. But here's a big piece of information that Marissa imparts on the girl group. They all notice that Hannah's not there. And
yes.
Marissa was like, I heard that the meeting with the girls like didn't go well. They met
it
with Hannah. Like Nick. Like met with like Hannah's friends and like it did not go well.
Yeah, like she didn't like call off the wedding yet, but like she doesn't know.
The best thing happens. Vanessa Lachey does not shut the fuck
yeah.
up and she walks in and Marissa says, oh, one of the girls, Hannah, isn't here. Has Vanessa, does she know them?
You don't think that the host of the show hasn't been briefed.
Maybe she doesn't. And then she basically is like, they're having trouble. I don't know if they're breaking up. And she's sort of like debriefing Vanessa.
Right. And Vanessa's like, I don't care.
Like, oh, sorry. She's, let me click the emotion button. Sorry.
Oh, boo. But you're getting married, so let's find dresses.
Let's dress shopping. Blah, say, blah. I mean, whatever. Bitchy Mama Marissa is there.
Yep.
She never has anything nice to say. They're like, how are you? She's like, I'm good, I guess.
She's like, I'm here.
Just say, I'm good. I'm good, I guess.
Oh, period.
What? There's more? What? Do I need to ask you follow-up questions? I don't want to. No, thank you.
Yeah, she's awful. I feel like they all basically picked the same dress, right?
I fast-forwarded. I didn't watch.
I literally wrote down, I'm not writing anything down unless it's actually important, and there really isn't much.
I don't care.
All right. Hannah and Nick, she's journaling, I guess. And she says, in the pods, you said you wanted someone who could push you to grow, Nick. Do you think I've done that for you, Nick? And he's like, yeah, too much, maybe, at times. Like, at times, maybe it's too much. And she went back to the list that she wrote in Mexico, and she has all the same concerns.
Yeah. She's like, everything she says has a caveat. I remember things you don't, Nick. Like, stop. End the sentence.
And he even says, like, do you have to be like that? Like, you didn't have to be shady about it. You could have just said the thing. She says he has no respect for her, that she needs to stroke his ego all the time, and he has no social awareness, and he's delusional. He can't see how she feels. And he's like, well, I'm sorry you feel that way. And she's like, I don't understand you, Nick. Like, with the Katie situation, she says, I don't know if you can use specific examples, but I can, Nick. Because I remember things, Nick.
And so he says, finally, stands up for himself. He's basically like, excuse me, if I could maybe partake in this conversation. He's like, I don't feel like you're equal. And then she starts the exit interview.
This is so dumb. I'm like, why are you doing this? If you don't want to be with him, just don't be with him. And she's like, what are the things that I have done right, Nick?
Yeah. And then she's asking him all these, what do you do? What bills do you pay? And he's like, well,
we've done this already.
Exactly. And she says, I have been trying and trying and trying and trying and trying. Girl, go all the way to hell and stay there. You have not tried.
Yes.
You've done nothing. No. Like, here's the thing. I am not against talking about your incompatibilities or your shortcomings. It's healthy to communicate, right? But bringing out lists and talking to him, she's literally talking to him like a principal, talking to a student. What did you do that was naughty? No, I want to hear it from you.
She's already made up her mind. So there's no fucking point to this. And she's like, at some point, Nick, like, I love you and I want this so freaking bad. But like, Nick, at some point, I have to take off my rose colored glasses.
Yeah.
Hannah, those came off the absolute millisecond that the fucking doors in the tunnel of love opened. That was the moment that you were like, I don't want to be here. And she says that she called him basically saying, I want to break up. And he wanted to know the game plan because he didn't want to look bad. And she thinks that's absolutely inappropriate, but I get it. He's like, you're just going to sit there and fucking insult me again for an hour.
Yeah.
Why would I want to sit there for
truly,
that?
Why would you want to sit there? It's sort of like when you just have this like thing and you're like, oh, I don't enjoy that person. I have so little free time. You know, like, you know, when you just kind of like realize that somebody is you're just like, why am I trying to make this happen? It's like, why is he doing that? Why? You know, if you know the boiling water is hot because you stuck your finger in it one time.
Don't do it again.
I did that. And
it's
I didn't
boiled.
Like it. I got a boo-boo.
Right. And she says, I don't know who the fuck you are, Nick, because I can't read your mind and I don't understand you, Nick. Literally a second ago, you said you loved him so freaking much. And now you don't know who he is? Which one is it? Because it can't be both.
She's there to break it off. And I'm glad she is breaking it off before the altar. But my lady, you have been cruel to him since day one. How is it possible that Nick and Katie had a more productive conversation in 40 minutes or 40 whatever
minutes.
It was, than you all have had in the entire experiment. And this breakup was
honestly
painful. It was rude. It,
it was
awful. Disrespectful.
She says, this isn't going to work and we are not going to get married. How do you feel? Like, why do you care? It's none of your business how he feels.
Oh, Daisy, this is the best. Then she's basically like, I'm supposed to be trying a wedding dress, Nick. And then she says, she feels manipulated. I want to talk about that for an hour and a half.
Woman.
I want to talk about it for the next three episodes.
She feels manipulated and weak because he's so good at telling people what they want to hear.
He does tell you what you want to hear because you are like fucking a Bigfoot, terrifying.
Yeah.
The fact that she said she felt manipulated.
That was jaw-dropping.
I do not think that word means what you think it means. Ma'am, you have not been manipulated. I'm going to put you in a room with my ex-boyfriend for three whole days and come back and tell me about manipulation.
Yeah, Nick wouldn't know how to manipulate.
He's actually not that smart. That's a very good point. He's really not even that smart.
Yeah.
You know, Katie said, she's like, listen, you're a good guy. You don't have to play the charmer game. And when she said that, he was like, okay, yeah, no, you're right. Because he listened. Because she was giving loving,
respectful feedback.
Right. It was painful to watch. And again, I think neither one of them should be there. That's what the conversation should be. We're not ready to get married. We shouldn't get married.
Yes.
We're not compatible. High five.
End of discussion. You don't need to lay into him. You don't need to go over again all the things you don't like about him. And you also have no right to ask him now how he feels. None.
Yeah. She's like, how do you feel? I wanted him to say relieved.
I know. I did too. He said, this is the worst feeling I've ever had in my life.
I also wanted him to like then open up his phone and like check his stocks and be like, kidding. I have stocks. And just like sit there fucking Wolf of Wall Street being like, I don't know. Milo's so high.
That would be great.
I don't know.
He says he'll never not think about her and she'll always be in his heart. Honey, I promise you that in 6 months tops, you will not be thinking about her anymore.
Do you even invest in stocks, Nick?
Nick. So now we're 4 days out to the wedding and Ramses and Marissa are out on a hot tub on a boat. And he says he's a romantic and he's looking forward to the wedding. And he's like, this is going to be my last one. She said, yeah, it's going to be my first and my last. And he asks if there's something she's worried about. She's like, well, yeah, I mean, everybody basically in my family is divorced and I don't want to get divorced. And then she says that she's willing to be unhappy in a marriage for 5 to 7 years before getting a divorce. And he's like, what? 5 to 7 years?
When I did the math of when I Googled how to get a divorce in New Jersey to the point I actually got a divorce was 6 years. Yeah. I remember exactly where I was. I was in Canada. I was in Canada of all places. Oh, God. Try Googling that in Canada. They come and they send you free mental health care. Are you okay? I saw that you Googled divorce.
Oh,
is everything cool? Is everything all right? You want some maple syrup?
I'm so sorry to hear that your marriage is ending, eh?
Sorry about your house. Just so sorry.
Wow. She's willing to be unhappy for 5 to 7 years. But you didn't wait 6 years before you Googled how to get a divorce.
No, from the time I Googled to the point I actually did it. Because I was in Canada. I was out of town with Priscilla, Queen of the Desert. And I remember sitting on my bed, like Travis was like in the kitchen. And I was like, he doesn't even know I'm Googling how to leave him. Yeah.
Wow. He came with you on tour or he was visiting?
No, he came to Toronto for part of it because he didn't have a job because I paid for everything. Singing and dancing. That's stupid. Fun. Job I had, singing and dancing, that nobody cares about. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm great. So, thank you, everyone.
Who needs therapy? He's being very magnanimous about her mom. He understands where she's coming from and he thinks she'll warm up to him.
The best thing was she's like, is my mom being any nicer? And he went, I liked him for that 15 seconds.
Yeah. It turns out she's a little bit peeved because when she goes to meet his mom, she's going to bring the gifts that they got her in Mexico and some flowers. And sort of all of a sudden, she's like, are you going to do that for my mom? Because I don't want to have to remind you to do that. Like, you didn't bring her flowers when we went to brunch. And he then says that he's having trouble keeping up with all of her plans and all of her sort of jumping all over the place.
Do not call out my little baby girl in Christ with ADHD. Okay, sir? That's what we're not going to do. What we're not going to do is make fun of Marissa that she's got a lot of thoughts in her head and she might be jumping around from topic to topic. Has she brought up those two fucking stupid dreads? No, she hasn't. So don't you come for my little girl with ADHD.
I completely agree.
He's so dismissive. Okay, here's the thing. This is the way the conversation goes. She's freaking out about everything. She's like, have you thought about the registry and the music and all of these things? And I actually really empathize with her here because it's a bigger picture moment. It's saying, do you care enough to be engaged in this thing?
Right.
Even if, because sometimes I know... I know sometimes I can just, like, in my mind, I can just run away with things because I'll be like, I'll do it. I don't want to bother anyone. Like,
huh, weird. Doesn't sound familiar.
No, I know. I've never done it with you. I get it. Daisy has seen it because I'm like, I'll do it. It's an insecurity thing.
But the difference is,
you always check in.
Right. And I'm like, hey, I can help. Yes, hey, I can help. Whereas Ramses is clearly not doing that.
Exactly. So even though she's probably loving this, she is. She's loving it. But she's just like, you haven't checked in. You haven't asked questions.
Right.
Did you think about getting my mom kissed? And I am very sentimental. I'm very big on gestures.
Yeah.
Can I add that to the love language list? I'm very big on little gestures. Like, it doesn't have to cost money. It doesn't have to, it's just,
right.
It's care. It's effort.
It's being thoughtful.
Yeah. Yeah, and she doesn't see that. And he is like, whoa, like, you're all over the place.
And then he gives the line that the reason he's not paying attention to wedding details is because he's more focused on the real priority, which is them and their relationship. Marissa.
Absolutely. He gives a bunch of Ramses-ies. And he's like, I'm focusing my energy and tuning into the vibes and the universe and the vibes. And I hear you. Do you know what I hear you is code for? It's code for,
be quiet.
I never actually thought about that. And I would like you to stop talking now.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And she sort of equates this to, like, what happens when we have kids? Am I going to have to hold all of the mental space for that too? Spoiler alert. Absolutely. Yes. Probably no matter who you marry, but especially if you marry this guy.
Remember when he said he would be willing to help with the kids? And things like, he is telling on himself.
Oh, you're willing to help with the kids? Thanks so much.
This is all she wants, because I feel her. I feel her. She doesn't want or need his help. She needs to know, or she needs to feel like he cares. She doesn't need him online and, like, making a playlist or anything, because her ADHD brain is going to take care of that. She needs to feel like she's appreciated.
Like, he's invested.
And he's invested. Exactly.
Yes. 100%.
Wait, Eric says what's on his playlist. Erykah Badu for sure. And then Sweet Honey and the Rock, I'm thinking.
Jill Scott. Like, why is he wearing a cross?
Daisy, don't ask silly questions this far into the recording.
Sorry.
You know, it's like.
Sorry. You're right.
Oh, God. You're exhausting.
Right. Tyler and Ashley, I guess, to piggyback off their go-karting, now they're going to jump out of a plane because they're taking a leap of faith.
It's a metaphorical leap of faith, Daisy.
Somehow jumping out of a plane has now become like a thing people do before they get married. Please don't make this a thing. Tyler is not happy about having to do this, but they end up both having fun. And he was like, I would absolutely do that again.
Have you ever gone skydiving?
No.
I've done it one time. I have pictures.
I will say that after seeing this scene, I was like, okay, maybe I could, because he was so not wanting to do it.
Yeah.
And the fact that he was like, I would absolutely do that again. I was like, okay, maybe I could do it.
Yeah. It is really, really fun. I would love to go again for sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
We paid for, like, you can pay for a camera guy to, like, go with you and take pictures.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, that camera guy just gets to skydive all day.
Yeah.
That's pretty fun.
Yeah. Yeah. Skydive and take pictures. He's like, my two hobbies in life are skydiving and taking pictures. How can I monetize that?
Listen, there's a lid for every pot.
So she says that now, because she's jumped out of a plane, she can face childbirth. Good luck. And she's like, you know, I have to do all the work. All you have to do is donate your sperm. And then they have a big laugh over her choice of words. So funny.
No,
so
we're not
funny. And then who cares? Taylor and Garrett are at this, like, weird place to have dinner that's like a 360 light show. 1,800 people come out to serve them three tiny little plates. It's a very strange situation.
They're like, enjoy while we present your dinner.
Did you see that meme that was like, Be Our Guest is just a song about how restaurants work? Be Our Guest is a candelabra explaining how restaurants work.
That is so funny.
It's really, really good. So he says, you know, the wedding at the end of the day is going to be the end to a very unique, exciting, and at times stressful experience. And Taylor sort of gloms onto that word. And she's like, have you been more stressed than happy? And he's like, come on, don't.
Mm-hmm.
No, we're not doing this. Don't. He's like, no, of course not. Never has a man been more in love with a woman than Garrett is of Taylor.
Garrett. Speedy bomb. What if I just, like, powered down? Like, I'm just like,
She glitched out and then powered down.
And that's Cats.
She's a small wonder.
Oh, God. Remember that show?
I loved that show. I went to see it taped live when I was like 7 at Universal.
Where is that girl? Besides in a lot of therapy, I would imagine.
I was thinking about her. I was wondering that same thing recently. And for some reason, I didn't bother to Google it. But I loved that show. Remember when she could read a book in seconds? And then what did she like smoke an entire pack of cigarettes like at once?
Same. So Taylor's always had a bit of an edge to her. You know, she always like, I can't remember the line she had on the pods. He was like, well, I'm excited. And she's like, don't get too comfortable. She always manages to somehow create a little bit of like arm's length, even though we know she loves him. Like she kind of like keeps him on her toes. She's very dry, right? But she's always kind of like throwing a little bit of shade to him. So I like it. Yeah. It's like, you know, she's like, well, don't get too comfortable. And it's not bitchy. Yeah.
They're both so smart. And I was thinking like the difference between, I mean, the difference between them and Hannah is night and day, but like you really can't be funny unless you're smart. You know what I mean? You don't meet dum-dums who are smart.
Who are funny. You know what bums me the fuck out?
Except for me, clearly.
Watching the crash out of Russell Brand and where Russell Brand has gone, because I used to love Russell Brand like 15 years ago, his stand-up comedy, and he's actually a genius.
What happened?
Oh, he's super, he's like QAnon now.
What happened?
I genuinely don't know. Once he broke up with Katy Perry, he like went to India. I don't know. I think it's mental illness. Like, you know, he's really honest about it. But like actually when you hear him speak, he is dripping with knowledge, his vocabulary, his wit, his smart. Yeah. He just, like Joey says, you can use your powers for good or evil. And he's just, he's lost the plot. Anyway, Taylor and Garrett, blah, 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 whatever. They're great. They're nerds. They're boring. Have a good life.
They're fine. Ramses and Marissa. Now, he's wrapped in a blanket, massaging his forehead. For some reason, we get a toilet flush sound. I was like, did we really need?
Agree.
Was there a reason that we had the toilet flush sound in there? Like,
yes. Okay, so Ramses is on the bed with his head in his hands. Yeah. I felt when you were little, did you ever like want like your parents to catch you crying?
Sure.
It felt like this to me. This is a visual. This is a visual. It felt like this.
Right. Like he's on his phone and then the toilet flushes and he's like,
no, it really felt like that. I'm not, I don't know what about it because it's like, I don't know. It was the way, it just felt staged to me. Yeah. It just felt like faux kind of like pent, like, you know, when someone goes like, and you're like,
and you have to be like, what's wrong?
It just felt like that to me. I don't know why. I could totally be projecting.
Also, you don't need to be wrapped in a blanket, dude. Yeah. We get it. She asks him what he's thinking, and he's like, I don't know. This is just a lot. He doesn't want to jump to any rash decisions, and we don't really know what they're talking about. He's like, we've been able to work through our stuff, but suddenly he's not sure that the marriage will work, and other things have to work besides love. I don't know if he's back on the sex thing again or...
We don't know. I know there's some people in the chat that think this is the big episode. It's not the big episode.
No.
Like you said, we don't know what they're talking about. Like, I feel like the camera people missed something because she said, I wonder if outside influences are hindering him and kind of like keeping them in a place. And he's like, I don't want to get divorced. And like, she just sits and affirms him. And she's like, I'm ready to get married. I want to do this. I have no idea what they're talking about.
None.
They were just kind of fine. I mean, he basically was like, whoa, you're a lot.
If anything, out of that conversation, I would have imagined she would have been like, you know what? I'm done.
Yeah. I don't know if they were talking about the sex thing. I don't know if they talked about his friend at the suit thing. Because she's like, well, you know, sometimes when you listen to people on the outside, I'm starting to feel her, I don't mean to use this as a bad word, but like her desperation a little. Like she's kind of like, this is good. I'm going to marry you. I love you. This is good. We have good stuff. And I don't disagree with her like fighting for what she believes in and, you know, like sharing what's on her mind and her heart. I just like felt a little bit of the, like, I was like, don't.
And you want to kind of be like, yeah, exactly. Not him, girl.
And I'm probably projecting because I know what the next episode holds. And that's where the episode ends.
Yeah. She says there's always a risk of falling in love, which is true. This is the existential dilemma of being alive. You can't get out of bed without risking dying. Like, you cannot fall in love without the risk of it ending or them dying or something. You know what I mean? Like,
are you going to leave the podcast? Is that what you're saying? I feel like that's...
No, that's not what I was saying at all.
What are you looking at?
This thing here, because it wasn't... it's just like it was in my peripheral and I was like, oh, it's not straight. And so I had to make it straight.
Yeah, I can imagine how that would be frustrating.
Yeah.
But like when you said that, I felt like you were sort of like meaning one thing.
No.
What are you looking at now?
Oh, next week I have therapy at 12:45, so I can't record at 1. So we should. Yeah. Oh, and we also have to do ads. We should do some ads. Do you have to go pick up Lola? Because we should do the ads.
I can do anything. No, before. This is my priority.
Great. So maybe we should just hop right into ads.
You're going to be here next week, right?
Ugh. I wish I had more iced coffee.
Thanks for listening, everyone. We'll see you next week, you guys. We're gonna be here. We're totally gonna be here next week. It's not like a thing.
Yeah, no, there's. I'm not
right. Right, DC. We'll see you next week.
Yeah,
right?
No, the podcast. Uh-huh.
No. We're doing the sign off now. Say we're gonna sign off. So be like, we'll see you next week.
Hey, Ellen, shut the fuck up.
There it is. Bye, guys.